Welcome to Richard Taylor's podcast. We trust you will be inspired, challenged, and encouraged.
Matthew's Gospel in the 9th chapter. One of the most profound stories in the Gospels. Most of you know it as the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible tells us in the book of Leviticus that life is in the blood. And so we have a description of a woman who was losing blood. She was losing life. And when the enemy gets a hold of your life, what he does is he takes everything out of you. He takes your energy. He takes the very life out of you, your soul, your joy, your peace, everything that Jesus came to die on the cross for, to purchase with his blood for you, the enemy tries to take away. This woman was losing blood. And we could say so much about it tonight. But let's read together from verse 18 from chapter 9 of Matthew. And as Jesus was saying this, the leader of the synagogue came and knelt before him. "My daughter has just died," he said, "but you can bring her back to life again if you just come and lay your hand on her." So Jesus and his disciples got up and went with him. Then a woman who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding came behind him. She touched. Some translations say the hem of his garment. The correct translation is the fringe. I don't know if you know, but the robe that Jesus would have been wearing would have been that of a rabbi. And at the hem, as it's described in many English translations, there was no hem that she touched, although we say it. There were four tassels that hung from the hem of the garment of Jesus, blue tassels. And it's commonly believed that these tassels were representative of some things that I'm going to share with you tonight. But the robe that he wore with those four parts to it on the hem were known as the talit. And she reached out and touched one of those talits. As we read the story here, she reached out after 12 years, touched the hem of his garment, the fringe of his robe, for she said to herself, "If I can just touch the robe or the hem of his garment, I will be healed." Jesus turned around when he saw her and said, "Daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was healed at that moment. Anybody here tonight waiting for a moment? When Jesus arrived at the official's home, he saw the noisy crowd, he heard the funeral music. This is some funeral. He says to them, "Get out! This girl isn't dead, she's just asleep." The crowd laughed at him. He put the crowd outside. Listen, when you got religious people laughing at you when God's doing things, the best you can do is get them outside. Because religious people they want to tell the Holy Spirit what to do. They want to tell the Holy Spirit when to do it. They want the Holy Spirit to do what they think he should do. But the Holy Spirit does what Jesus wants to do. And here's the thing, sometimes he'll do things that we don't think are fair. He might heal somebody and we think they don't deserve to be healed. None of us deserve to be healed. None of us deserve God's forgiveness, but he does, because he loves us, because he's merciful. And his mercy endures. And I don't care how far in sin some of you might be tonight, and you've come to this meeting and people have brought you because you've heard something's happening in Cumbrana, God is doing something. And so people have brought you and your life is so dark, you're so full of sin. And you think, "Pastor, can God forgive me?" I'm here to tell you, yes, he can forgive you. "Pastor, you don't know how bad it's been, how bad I've been. You don't know the darkness that I'm in, the darkness. darkness that's in me. I'm here to tell you tonight, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world, and he who comes to me, I will never cast them away. I will receive them unto myself. Jesus will not reject you. Jesus didn't die pointing a finger. He died with arms wide open to say, come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul. So it doesn't matter who you are tonight or where you're from. You need to know God can forgive you of all of your sin. Hallelujah. All of it. All of it. But let me just go back to this woman. In the book of Numbers, which we're not going to go to the entire scripture tonight because we're going to pray for people in a moment. But in the book of Numbers in chapter 15, verse 37 to 41, describes the kind of robe that Jesus would have been wearing. The tallit. And the tallit would have these four tassels. Each of those tassels on the garment represented four different things. I'm going to give you just a brief overview of what they were and what they represent to us. One of them represented the Word of God, the laws of Moses, the law of God. 683 plus laws, they represented the law of God. And every time that a Jewish person would pray and would take one of those tassels, it would remind him of the law of God. The second tassel was representative of authority. It was blue in color, which spoke of divinity, the divinity of Christ. Divinity. Which means when she reached out, she touched not a garment, a fabric, she touched the Word of God. And listen to what it says. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So here was the Word incarnate in Jesus. And as she reached forth and touched one of those tassels of the hem of his garment, it was the Word of God that she was touching. And we are not chasing the sensational in this church, we're chasing after the scriptural. It's Jesus I want. Nothing more, nothing less. It's Jesus I want. The third thing, it speaks of protection. I don't know if you know this, but some of you have read it probably in Psalm 91 when it talks about under his wings we'll find refuge. The third tassel is referred to as one of those wings. It was a prayer wing where they would cover themselves with a feather. Malachi chapter 4 verse 2, he shall rise up with healing in his wings. Do you see the connection? From Malachi chapter 4 verse 2, I think it's verse 2. Here we go. Verse 2. Says, when the Son of Righteousness rises, that he will bring healing with his wings. So one of the tassels represented the feathers. What does that mean? Let me try and explain to you in spiritual terms tonight, because we're so earthly in our minds. In this meeting tonight, in this meeting, I know you can't see them, but there are angels. We've been worshipping with them because they constantly worship the King, constantly, all the time. And have you noticed, this is very interesting, their eyes, their gaze are always upon the King. Let me explain to you. The Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, had two angels on the other side, cherubims we call them. And they had wings that spanned like this, one from one side, one from the other. And the wings touched each other, but their eyes were fixed on the middle of the mercy seat where God sits. And God sits on the throne in heaven, and angels surround his throne, and they are constantly looking at Jesus. Constantly. Their whole focus, their whole attention, their whole gaze is on the King. They never take their gaze off him. And when he moves, they move. The Bible says at his behest, when he says to an angel, go and do, the angel goes and does. He sent an angel to stir the waters so that when someone was brought to the water, they might be healed. John chapter 8. And so angels are all around us. Now, because we've had maybe some doctrines preached and we're all a bit freaked out about it. Angels are in the Bible and they're at work in Christians' lives, in your life, without you even knowing it. They have gone before you. They are behind you and they are encamped all around you, is what the Bible says. Now, the reason why we don't see them, because I'll tell you something now, if you saw one, it would freak you out. Whenever anybody saw an angel, the Bible says they were afraid, or they fell on their face as dead. Because angels are very, very powerful. But their gaze was always upon the king. And this woman, her eyes were fixed on Jesus. And she said to herself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. What is that? Those four things I mentioned to you there. And the fourth thing to do with the tassels was healing. One of the tassels represented healing, because the Bible says that healing is in his wings. Protection, healing, the word of God and authority. Think about it tonight. Whatever is in your life, God has got the authority. The word is here. Protection for you is here. And healing is here for you as well. Everything you need is in God through Christ tonight. Whatever it is. And whether we're coming back night after night and we're just calling out onto God, saying, oh God, for my family, for my job, my finances, my relationship, my mother, my father, my brother, my sister, my school, my university, my college, my friends, whatever it is, we're crying out to God, oh God. We're reaching out to touch the hem of your garment. Interesting that one of the other gospel writers said to his disciples, in the midst of this great gathering and crowd, he says, stop! Somebody has touched me. Out of all the people, they must have been bumping into Jesus and they must have been, you know, trying to get to... But Jesus knew someone had touched him differently. And in this meeting tonight, in this crowd of people, just like when Jesus was walking on the earth, people forget that Jesus is still at work on the earth now. By his Spirit, he is here tonight. And some of you have been walking with Jesus for so long, but you're so dry on the inside. There is no oil left in you. There's no Holy Ghost left in you. And you're just going through the motions. Listen to me. Reach out tonight and be one of the ones that touches the hem of his garment. Reach out to him. Don't worry about what people think. Man, when you're dying of cancer, it doesn't matter what people think. You shout out, thou son of David, have mercy on me. When you're facing impossible situations, it's no good sitting there prim and proper and just hoping for the best. You've got to cry out to God and say, oh God, reach out and touch him. Jesus said, stop. And Jesus would interrupt this meeting tonight and say, stop. Somebody has touched me. The disciples said, Lord, you gotta love the disciples, don't you? It's all he had to work with. He said, what do you mean someone's touched you? Look at the crowds. There's so many people. He says, no. Somebody has touched me because virtue has gone from me. Something has been withdrawn from me. Someone has not just touched me, but that was a point of contact. And at the point of contact, their faith drew something from my power and my divinity. There were other people touching him. That's why in one meeting, one person can be healed and another person not be healed. That's why in a meeting, someone can be set free and someone else can stay bound. Not what God intends, but it's all to do with that point of contact and the touch and what you're withdrawing from. Are you drawing from the virtue? If you look into the preacher, if you look into the man, forget it. John the Baptist said to him, why have you come out to see me? I'm not the one, but there is one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to even undo. Because I am not the miracle worker, I'm just the postman. Deliver the message. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the savior. He's the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. But how we reach out. Here's what I see with this woman. This is interesting. This woman, listen to me, listen to this. This woman, first of all, the scriptures say, she said to herself. And I'm going to stop there for a moment for this juncture to say this. Some of you need to give yourself a good talking to. And you've got to say to yourself, enough is enough. 12 years, I've had enough of this. I'm tired. Pastor, I'm just drained. I'm tired. I'm fed up of being fed up. I can't carry on like this. And then she heard that Jesus was in town. And many of you are here tonight because you heard something happened. Something's going on, or something's out. What is it? What gathers people without leaflets? Without being on God TV? What? It's the Spirit of God. Now we know this. The Spirit of God. Spirit of God was going around houses today, homes, phone calls, text messages, emails, Facebook. The Holy Ghost was weaving his way all round to draw you to come around Jesus tonight in his presence with his people to get your gaze on the King. So like this woman, say to yourself, tonight I'm going to this meeting not just to see what's happening. If you've come to see what's happening, you are going to be disappointed, because this is not a show. So if you've come to be entertained, wrong place. But if you've come to meet with Jesus and you need a touch from Jesus tonight, when you reach out, he'll touch you. And just one touch from the King changes everything. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me, and I give it to you over all the power of the enemy. What do you need tonight from God? What miracle do you... What are you believing God for? What is it in your life? Maybe you've never experienced God's power. Maybe you don't know. You've never had the Holy Spirit living inside you. Maybe you know nothing about what I'm talking about tonight. But tonight, before you leave this meeting, you can. But just like this woman, you've got to say to yourself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. She had faith. She had faith to believe. There's preachers out here today say, you don't need faith. It's all God gives you. Listen, you need faith. We need faith. We got to believe. We got to believe that God is, and God wants to, and God desires to touch your life and change everything. Pastor, you mean to say before I leave this meeting, just Jesus can just touch me tonight and like things can change? Yeah. I mean, I was sitting in a prison cell in Swansea, smoking marijuana, listening to Bob Marley on the radio, wired up to a PP9 battery. Some of you don't even know what that is, I know. I tried winding it up to the light in the cell, and I nearly electrocuted myself. Blew the radio up. Anyway, one touch from the King changes everything. And many of you have traveled tonight, I know, from all over the place. I mean, I've had phone calls, emails in from North Wales, from Timbuktu, from all over the place. People are coming because God's at work. God's doing something. God's doing something. We're going to pray. We're going to stand, and we're going to continue to worship. I'm going to get out of the way. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit have his way. We're going to continue to worship. We're not going through a set list of worship songs. We're worshiping the King. And as we worship the King, at any moment when the Holy Spirit steps in and says, right now, pray. Pray for the people. Pray for them now. We're going to pray. And whatever you're believing, whatever miracle you need, if you've come on behalf of someone tonight, God's instructed me to do something tonight, which I'm going to share with you. God said to me tonight, Pastor Andrew, can you pass me a book of that? God spoke to me tonight and said to me, many of you here tonight, you've come for yourself, some of you, but some of you have come for someone else because they wouldn't come. Maybe because they don't believe. Maybe they're not believers. Maybe they just don't believe in all this. Or maybe they don't like my Welsh accent. Never mind, they're lucky. So, whatever. But God spoke to me. And when I read the scriptures, when it says the woman reached forth and touched the hem of his garment, the Lord spoke to me. And he said to me, I want you to take some cloth. I want you to anoint these cloths, and I want you to give them to people tonight who are believing for miracles, for some of their family members who are not believers, not Christians, who've got sickness, who've got disease, who've got cancer, who've got terminal illnesses. And some of you even here tonight as well, to take one of these home, and after I've anointed them with oil, which I'm going to do, and pray over them, because it is biblical. Let me give you the scripture reference so you know in the book of Acts. When they came to Paul, they were trying to touch him because his garment carried that anointing oil. And it says that Paul, that they laid hands on cloths and they took them away as a point of contact, as they were placed upon them. Now, here's the thing. Here's the deal. I ain't selling them. They're free. And they're not green, they're red and black. And there's nothing special about these cloths. But when we pray over them and when we anoint them, they do become special because they become a point of contact. And I can tell you, over the years I've been doing ministry, where I've seen people take cloths of unsaved husbands, and when we've anointed them, the wife has slipped the anointed handkerchief under the pillow at night, woken up in the morning to find her husband on her knees repenting before God. Yes. Yes. Some of you are thinking, oh, really? I'm going to get me one of those cloths because he's doing my head in his. Now, I had one guy tell me, he says, Pastor, I took a cloth home. My dog had a bad leg. That's what he said to me. He said, I laid the cloth on my dog and my dog's leg got healed. I don't know. I said, that's great. Keep that testimony to yourself. But anyway, so, I mean, some of you love your animals. I know. But all I know is God told me to do this, and we've got oil here. I mean, to make it even more anointed, Pastor Andrew's got oil from Jerusalem over there. Don't ask me how he shipped that over here. I'll never know. Don't ask. It's the oil of Sharon or something. I don't know what it is. Anyway, but it's all biblical, you know. It's all biblical. But we're going to anoint these cloths, and I'm going to issue, but I want to pray for people. We're going to do that a little bit later. But can I ask you all to stand right now in the presence of the Lord? What if as we saw last night, and we're going to see tonight, as Jesus does miracles in a few moments, and we said, you know, we throw our agendas to one side. We got so many things going on in the diary. We got this going on and we got that going on. And what if we said, oh, forget it all. Let's just meet with Jesus every night. Yeah, but I'm missing my favorite program on telly. That's why we're not in revival, folks. Because folks are more interested in what's on the TV than they are with what God's doing. You know, we've really got to prioritize and put things into perspective. Let's be a generation of people who are hungry for God. I mean, you know, Lord, I Friday is all planned. I'm going out for a meal. Bring them here first, then take them for a meal. Saturday night, Sunday, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Man, I'd rather be in the presence of God every night of my life. To dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Here's the thing, folks. We're going to spend eternity in his presence. We might as well get some practice in before we get there. We're all trying to run away from the presence of God, trying to do other things. It's like tonight I should be training for rugby. We haven't won a game in 2 years. We need to train. But I phoned up, I texted the gaffer and said, I'm sorry, gaffer. I said, he doesn't understand all of it. He says, but God is moving by the Holy Ghost. He doesn't understand all of that, obviously. And he goes, oh, but what does that mean? I says, never mind. So I can't be there tonight because I've been at church all day now, and I've got two cans of Red Bull and a Holy Ghost, and I'm in the meeting. I want a custard tart. Anyway, so because I want to be in Jesus. Have I got people who just want to be in the presence of Jesus? Not for the sake of it, though. Not for the sake of it. Are we going to see miracles here tonight? I know we are. Some of you who were prayed for last night have received miracles, and you've got testimonies you're going to share. And I don't know if they're on the seats, but have you got those cards carrying? Are they on the seats? Where are they? Can I get those cards? Can we copy those cards on the seats? What we've done, they should be on every single seat, actually. We've got these cards. Now, there's two cards. One's called a prayer request card. And every day, the pastors, we've been bathing in prayer. I mean, before God on our face, praying here in the church. We're going to pray over every single prayer request every day here and come back every night. And then you fill in the other card, which is a miracle card. Because you need to let us know when God has answered your prayer, a miracle has happened. Amen? So even tonight is where, as we worship and as God comes in and the Holy Spirit has his way in a few moments and does everything he's going to do as he's doing now, maybe you've already had a miracle. Maybe last night God did a miracle. Write it down on here. Bring it to the front and just put it up in front of the pulpit here. Just leave it there. Bring your prayer request. Write it down. Bring it there. We'll make sure they're separate. We're going to lay hands and we're going to pray. And we'll keep praying. We'll keep praying for that prayer request until the miracle one gets filled in. Until God answers the prayer. Do I get an amen in the building tonight? That's what whatever the miracle is. Now, if you don't want to put your name down, put Bob Marley down or something like that. If you don't want to put your name down, or, you know, Shania Twain. But you know, anything. But you know who you are. You know your alias. Because some people, maybe it's a private thing and you don't want everybody to know. So you don't want to put your name down. All right? So call yourself something you've always wanted to be. All right? Oh, no, actually, no, don't do that. Actually, just a second thought there. Put Charlie Brown down or something like that, right? I'll do, right? Or Susie Jones. So put that down. Sorry if your name is Susie Jones, by the way. And the miracle card there as well. Can I ask you all to bow your heads in prayer for a moment? Just close your eyes. Close your eyes for a moment. Presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In your presence, Lord. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Tonight, before we go back into worship and pray for the sick and see God do miracles, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'll ask you a question. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Have you publicly confessed him as your Savior? Have you made him the Lord of your life? I don't want to assume that everybody in here tonight has done that. Maybe you've walked away from God and you know, you're just miles away, man. You've just backslidden and you're just miles away. You just thought you're lost, man. This isn't a time to talk about whether you could lose your salvation or not. I couldn't give two figs what you believe. All I know is this: if you're far from God, you need to get back to him. Whatever your theology is.
We trust you enjoyed listening to the podcast today. For more information, why not head over to Richard's website, www.richietaylor.org. Never miss an episode by subscribing to our channel.